Hello, and I'm here today talking to Martin Compton, who works in professional development. And I just thought I'd ask him a few questions and his views on curriculum design and the sort of things that that encompasses. Hello, Martin.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. So could we start off with curriculum design what are your thoughts and what sort of things do you think you have to take into consideration when one designs a curriculum?
Well, I think it's difficult to start with, because when you talk about curriculum design, you're talking about the practicalities, the everyday stuff. But when people talk about curriculum generally, they're actually talking more about how something is organised and designed and the philosophy behind it, that's often very much beyond the control of an individual teacher. So I think, you know, there are these sort of nebulous definitions that it's really hard to pin down. But practically speaking, I think that there are elements there that will inform the way that you organise teaching on a day-to-day basis, your curriculum. There are elements and aspects that you have control over. And those practical sides of things will also be informed by your own background and everything like that. So I think in terms of an individual teacher, what's really important is to think, what are my values? What am I trying to achieve? What else drives the curriculum? And how can I shape it in my own image for the benefit of my students?
Okay, and within the curriculum, so you're designing your curriculum, you have to think about the methods that you're going to use for learning, for teaching, and for assessment as well. What sort of things drive that, do you think? What sort of things will influence your decision with regards to, for example, with your methods of learning and teaching?
I have to be totally upfront with you and honest. It's very rare that a theory will drive my approach. More a sense of my individuality, my beliefs, my sort of social outlook, all of those things. Interestingly, when you turn the theories onto what I hope to do or what I'm trying to achieve, you can see a very clear link between certain theoretical frameworks. So, for example, there's been a sort of late 20th century rejection of all things behavioristic. Oh, we don't put students in rows, we don't learn by rote, we don't, you know, punish them in the same way, we don't get out the ruler on the back of the hand, which was how I was educated in my early years. But actually, we do that, but in different ways. You know, any primary school you go to, you will see star charts and reward charts different penalties that all the kids are aware of for misbehaviour. And it might be something as negotiated and democratic as a student council or whatever, but it's still reward and punishment.
Yeah.
But for me, you asked about me, what informs my approach is a belief that if people can make their own links between different things and articulate what it is that's in front of them, their understanding of it, then that would help them get a real good, strong grasp of what they're learning. So I look to provide opportunities for discussion, for negotiation, room for misunderstanding, a safe enough environment to make mistakes and look like a bit of a donut from time to time by making myself look like a donut from time to time. So being just about on a level with the students, but still maintaining authority. So all of those things, it's driven by having taught for 22 years already. And informed also by research as well.
Yeah.
You know.
But you want to encourage your students to think for themselves. Develop the thought processes.
So it's very cognitive
approach,
very constructivist approach. Very, I suppose, process driven, if you're looking at some of the models of curriculum design, but influenced and impacted by the environment that I work in. So a very managerialistic, objectives
And does culture. Does this sort of view bleed into the way you would assess?
Yes, it does, actually, because if you look at some of the things that I've been doing on the Cert Ed and other courses, using innovative forms of assessment, using innovative forms of feedback and monitoring, putting more control in the hands of the students, encouraging them to use alternative ways of expressing their ideas. That's very much fits into that sort of process model and fights against the traditional academic, content-driven and outcomes-driven models that that have sort of shaped the curriculum in the past. So it's a reaction, but with justification and with research to back it up as well.
I know you're very up on e-teaching, etc. And how does this have an influence on the sort of resources you use? And
the first thing that that I learned, and it took me about 8 years to learn this, you know, building websites, using Moodle, you know, PowerPoints all over the place and this kind of stuff, is that actually you've got to know your pedagogy. You've got to understand the teaching and learning purpose behind the technology. And if you think about that first and foremost, what is it that this technology is going to do that would be better than doing it with a piece of paper and a pencil? And I've said this to the group before. If a piece of paper and a pencil is the best way to do it, then do that. You know, if the technology takes 4 hours to set up, don't bother with it. It's, you know, a gimmick and a novelty is great from time to time, and a bit of colour can be really motivating, but there has to be something deeper than that. You have to think, what is this going to achieve? Will it do at least the same job, or will it do a better job? And, you know, that's what drives me, really.
What sort of support do you put in place in terms of, you know, for your learners and also inclusivity within the curriculum?
I'm very much of the school of thought that, you know, you should encourage your students to be independent where they can, because I think, you know, on any courses, even on level 4, 5, 6, I've seen level 7 courses, students over-dependent on the tutor. And that happens a lot in FE because it's the nature of FE. So we're running higher education level courses, but because we're in an FE environment, people, even teachers, play the role of the needy student without even realising it. You know, they don't understand things, so they come knocking on the door of the tutor. I don't get it, without actually thinking through the process. But if they were doing the same course at the Institute, for example, that facility wouldn't be afforded to them, so they would be forced to either seek support from their peers in the first instance, or their own brains. Because most of the time, some of the questions that people ask on the hoof are actually answerable from the handbook, which people rarely read, for example. But you have to at the Institute. So people engage with things in different ways. So fostering and encouraging independence.
Which goes back to what you were saying before, isn't it? And finally, what are your views on, what about progression routes? How important are those in terms of when you're developing a curriculum?
Well, if we're talking about the Cert Ed, which I've been talking about, which your students are on, then, you know, the progression route, the main progression route is full-time paid employment, isn't it? But on other courses, it varies, and it really does depend on the course that they're on. But I think you have to be realistic with people. Know what's out there, know what job opportunities there are, know what academic or further study progression routes are available, and share that at stages. But be realistic about what the opportunities are. And I think sometimes we can be guilty in education of setting students up with expectations that are too high. You know, all the many students that are on media courses think they're going to be working at DreamWorks Studios, and you know, those doing drama think they're going to be the next Dickie Attenborough, rest in peace, and they're not. And you have to be realistic and honest about this. You know, drama is brilliant because it develops so many important skills that you can use in all walks of life, but the majority of people that study it are not going to be paid actors. And the same applies to a whole bunch of curricula.
Martin, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Your thoughts.
Thank you.